From the Radio Ranch in the heart of Liberty, Texas, it's the Bombastic Blogcast for Monday, October 14th, 2024. I'm the G-Man, Dan Gallo.
Hey, G-Man.
Either yourself. Defender of the peace, keeper of the justice, purveyor of truth, the kid with the patriotic red, white, and blue eyes, and one heck of a nice guy. And since it is Monday, let's do the Monday march back to work. Come on, put your shoulders back, stiffen that backbone, put a smile on your face, and keep a prayer on your lips. Everything should be okay. Now, let's get things officially started with...
The Daily Datagram!
Yep, words of wisdom, words of inspiration, brain droppings, or noggin nuggets. You get to make the call. This is a good one, too. It says, boredom is a sign of unused potential. Well, maybe so. But for me, it's sayings like this that leave me potentially bored.
Well, I'm officially bored to tears.
Let's move along now to the so-called educational part of this big blogcast.
Twisted History.
This is it.
Gather around, kids, because a lot of things happen on this day throughout history.
Oh, boy.
Some cool, some not so cool.
I'm excited.
Just the same. You need to know your Twisted History.
Yes, you do.
You might be quizzed.
Oh, nobody believes that anymore. Come on, stop with that. All right, kids, it was on this day in 1912, former President Theodore Roosevelt was shot and mildly wounded by John Flamang Schrank, whoever he was. And with a fresh wound in his chest and the bullet still within, Roosevelt delivered his scheduled speech. Now, there's a reason for that. He was getting paid by the word. And it was on this day in 1947, Chuck Yeager, my hero, became the first person to exceed the speed of sound. Although he swore that he could still hear his wife.
I don't think that's funny.
Aw, lighten up a little, lady. To say that we're living in some very pivotal times in American politics would be a gross understatement. And a lot of it has to do with social media. Now, with social media, everybody has a voice. And that's why people like Hillary Clinton and John Kerry are trying to force censorship onto social media platforms. And every time that they get up and talk about it, they speak with a serious, straight face, as though the First Amendment doesn't even exist. Oh, they address the First Amendment, but they're constantly trying to manipulate the language so that it sounds very sensible that the government should have the authority to prevent misinformation. But then again, they can never answer the question, all right, who is going to be the judge of what is and isn't misinformation? What they're proposing is really criminal under our Constitution. And fortunately, it's people like Hillary Clinton and John Kerry and, George Soros, I can't blame him too much. I mean, he's just providing the money. He's not really providing the policy, although he's reinforcing it to a great degree. But the real criminals here are people like Hillary and John Kerry, because they're constantly chipping away at our First and Second Amendment rights. But more than Second Amendment, they're really going after our First Amendment rights, freedom of speech. And their argument is pretty simple, really. They're arguing that by allowing free speech, we are also allowing hate speech. Well, you know what? When the Founding Fathers cobbled that First Amendment together for us, they did so under the assumption that we future Americans, and that's what we are, we're future Americans compared to them, right? They were around back in the mid 1700s, and here we are some almost, not quite 300 years later. So what they're doing here is trying to circumvent the assumption on the part of the Founding Fathers that we future Americans would have the good common sense to be able to handle things like freedom of speech and be able to handle things like hate speech. You know, it's really weird. You would think somebody as well-educated as, theoretically, as well-educated as Hillary Clinton or John Kerry would understand that Newton's law, which was really very simple, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. And they would take that to heart when talking about the First Amendment. Okay, if you're going to engage in hate speech, you better be ready for the reaction. And the reaction could come on the part of your fellow citizens. It could also come on the part of the government. All of a sudden, the FBI decides, well, your hate speech signals a danger to the rest of us, so we're going to look into you. But that's not what they really want. People like Hillary Clinton want absolute control. I would love to see Dr. Phil do a psychological study on Hillary Clinton, because I think what would emerge would be someone who's really, and I mean this, really very, very sick. Well, having said that, I wanted to call your attention to the fact that billionaire investor Bill Ackman, you may recall this, ripped into the Biden administration Friday, if you heard about this, posting to X 33 catalysts for his losing total confidence in the Democratic Party. Now, you may recall that right after the first attempt on Donald Trump's life, Ackman threw his support behind Donald Trump, formally endorsing Donald Trump. And many of Ackman's friends and his family were surprised by the endorsement. He wrote on X, taking the opportunity to dismiss claims he wanted financial benefit or a role in a potential Trump administration, because that's always going to be the first accusation made of a billionaire who throws his support behind somebody like Donald Trump. And the thing that really just irritates the hell out of me and scares me to a degree is that so many people, so many influential people, so many supposedly well-educated people are throwing their support behind Kamala Harris when she's just an idiot. Well, okay, I should take that back. She's not really an idiot. She's pretty well-educated. And in her own situations, she can be pretty sharp. But when she can't answer simple questions like, well, what are you going to do to goose the economy back into good health? And she's just totally a fish out of water. She's not even in the same universe. So it bothers me that so many people are willing to support someone like her. And you need to consider this. A lot of the people who are supporting her are supporting her with the full knowledge that people like you and I have, that the only reason they want Kamala Harris is because the deep state needs a puppet. And she's a perfect puppet for the deep state. She'll just be their yes woman. That's all there is to it. She will gladly carry out whatever the deep state tells her to do. Now, again, who are the individuals in the deep state? There are hundreds of people, hundreds of them. Our country is no longer our country because the deep state is running it. And people like Bill Ackman understand this. They know this. Now, Ackman previously donated hundreds of thousands of dollars to various Democrat political figures, named illegal immigration, inflationary policies, and the botched withdrawal from Afghanistan as the first three catalysts for his losing total confidence in the administration and the party. Now let's go to his Friday tweet where he said, "A number of my good friends and family have been surprised about my decision to support real Donald Trump for president. They've been surprised because my political giving history has been mostly to Democrats. My voting registration has typically been Democrat in New York. You must." Well, in New York, yeah, I guess you do. So Ackman went on to say, "Unnecessary energy regulations on businesses, policies releasing violent criminals without bail, and the destruction of street businesses by decriminalizing shoplifting influenced his bygone support." Now, more business-related grievances included attempts to limit or ban fracking and the promotion of diversity, equity, and inclusion hiring practices. I thought that was very interesting. Yeah, he's not too keen on their promotion of diversity, equity, and inclusion hiring practices. Well, you know, it's divisive. And Ackman blasted the LGBT curriculums and the encouragement of sex change surgeries for minors, which is absolutely insane. And the thing that I find so sick is that the Democrat Party is trying to make it look sane or sensible or the thing to do. My God. I mean, it's almost as if we as a nation have totally rejected God. So he blasted the LGBT curriculums and the encouragement of sex change surgeries for minors, also denouncing the Black Lives Matter riots and COVID-19 lockdown policies of the early Biden-Harris administration, before condemning anti-Israel protests on college campuses and the rise of anti-Semitism. So if a guy like Bill Ackman can see this national insanity, my God, it's almost like the emperor's new clothes, right? If Bill Ackman can see this, why can't other wealthy entrepreneurs see it as well? Well, I think they can, and I think they're waking up. They may have already awakened, and they may be talking Harris, but voting Trump. That's entirely possible. Now, it gets interesting here because other admonishments include vaccine mandates. And here we go, my pet peeve, censorship of free speech, weaponization of the justice system. He sees it too. The defund the police movement, government subsidies for insufficient products. Oh, man, like these EVs. You want to know why the American automotive industry is in such deep trouble? It's because of this stupid mandate on the part of the Biden administration to go to EVs. That is a technology that is going to die. If you live long enough, you're going to see that technology die a slow, miserable death. The future in automotive and just motive power, transportation, the future is hydrogen fuel cells. And don't take it from me. Take it from the people at Toyota. They know. But this idiotic campaign for EVs arose out of one thing, and that is the Envir-Nazi movement. So, this guy Bill Ackman sees the same things that you and I have been seeing for the last three and a half years. Now, he was notably displeased with the emboldening of foreign adversaries. I've been displeased with that for the last 10, 12 years. Ackman called out Democrats for using a backroom process by undisclosed party leaders to select Vice President Kamala Harris instead of giving Americans the opportunity to select a new candidate to replace Biden on the ballot. And he concluded by calling Harris an inferior candidate before stating, Americans lost confidence in the accuracy and trustworthiness of our voting system as a result of laws preventing voter ID. Bingo! And then Ackman wrote at the end of his list of grievances, I welcome your thoughts. Once again, California just proved, without a doubt, that they're the dumbest state in the union. They would rather go broke than to go back on their uber-liberal principles. See, Elon Musk's recent endorsement of Donald Trump doesn't sit well with the people in California. They're also concerned about his social media posts. And now they possibly cost his rocket company the ability to continue launching its Falcon 9 rocket from the California coast this year, which is no big deal for Elon Musk. He'll just take that business to Texas as well as he has all his other businesses. I mean, Elon Musk has no qualms at all about giving the finger to California and saying, screw you. And the idiots in California continue to behave like a bunch of adolescents when it comes to their politics. They would rather go broke. Well, they already have. But they would rather go broke and run every living, breathing business out of the state of California than to at least admit that, well, maybe we're wrong about this. Maybe we should be concerned about some of the more conservative business principles. And maybe we should be a little more concerned about freedom. But no, the socialist state of California has what they call the California Coastal Commission, and they voted on October 10th to deny Elon Musk's SpaceX their request to make 50 rocket launches from Vandenberg Space Force Base in Santa Barbara County. Now, you had 6 members have voted against the request, and 4 voted in favor of increasing the number of launches. Commission staff recommended approving the request, which I found interesting. See, the rocket company submitted a request on July 9th for the additional launches and landings, and they've since worked with the Air Force and Coastal Commission to meet environmental conditions. Okay, fine. You would think that would be enough, but no. See, politics always gets in the way of everything when it comes to California. Now, let's backtrack a little bit here. The rockets are mainly used to deliver the company's Starlink satellites. And we all know how important those are. They provide commercial satellite internet and telecommunications. And they're also available for military missions. Well, Air Force officials consider the missions to be critical to national defense, America's national space objectives, and are used by the Department of Defense and the intelligence community. And this is according to federal officials, okay? Yeah, but then again, what do the idiots in California know? Anyhow, the rockets mostly land at sea offshore of Baja, California, in Mexico, and would be transported to the port of Long Beach and then to Vandenberg Harbor for reuse. Now, despite bipartisan support from 14 of the state's members of Congress and 10 state legislators, as well as the backing of the U.S. Air Force, 6 commissioners voted against additional launches, citing Musk's public statements on politics and related activities. How utterly stupid is that? There you go, my friend. California putting the stew in stupid. So, anyhow, Commissioner Gretchen Newsom. Yeah, her last name is spelled the same way as Gavin Newsom, the governor. This commissioner, Gretchen Newsom, appointed by the State Senate Rules Committee in a statement Thursday, said, right now, Elon Musk is hopping about the country, spewing and tweeting political falsehoods and attacking FEMA while claiming his desire to help the hurricane victims with free Starlink access to the internet. That is going to be publicly one of the dumbest things ever spoken by a public official. Now, she's an unelected public official, but she's a public official just the same. Starlink, of course, is a subsidiary of SpaceX, and they announced Friday the service would be free until the end of the year for those impacted by Hurricanes Helene and Milton, which caused significant damage, of course, in Florida, Georgia, West Virginia, North Carolina this month. You've seen the pictures. You'd have to have been living under a rock not to know about the damage. And the satellite internet company came to the aid forthwith of thousands of residents. And they're all struggling in the aftermath of both hurricanes. And all Elon Musk wanted to do was offer free connections and cell phone service. Well, Musk has also deployed Starlink in Ukraine following the Russian invasion, and in Palestinian territories during the war between Israel and Hamas. So Thursday's denial by this stupid California commission for more launches may not end SpaceX's activities at Vandenberg this year. It may not. Cooler heads may prevail, because you got federal agencies who are required to seek approval from this commission for certain activities, such as the rocket launches, but they have the authority to proceed as they see fit, regardless of the commission's determination. And right here, we should have a little a little rim shot. Bada-boom. So, and by the way, that was substantiated by commission spokesman Joshua Smith. So if that happens, the commission can pursue mediation or sue the company. But in August, SpaceX asked to bump up allowable launches to 36, which was approved by the commission. But the company's nearing that number now. And if approved, it would have allowed SpaceX to launch about every 5 days for the rest of this year. Now, SpaceX leases a launch site at Vandenberg, and this allows the company to launch payloads into space several times a year. But Vandenberg isn't the only usable launch space in the nation. I mean, there are launching facilities in Florida. There are launching facilities in Texas. So the commission also cited other reasons for their rejection. Commissioners objected on Thursday to increasing rocket launches at Vandenberg Space Force Base, in large part because the Air Force hasn't convinced them that SpaceX launches qualify as a federal government activity. Really? Well, when you're launching satellites with the idea in mind you're going to aid FEMA in the hurricane-torn areas? Come on! I just continually shake my head at the stupidity of Californians. They're idiots out there. They're just idiots. So commissioners have asked SpaceX to apply for a separate coastal development permit in compliance with California law because it's a private company. So Commissioner Smith said, commissioners also expressed a desire to collect more environmental monitoring data before approving such a rapid increase in launches. Morons. Boy, there's more to the story, but it's just very redundant, and I just refuse to go there. I just wanted to illustrate once again how petty the idiot, radical leftists in California are. God, that place has got to be such a crap hole to live in. The dynamics of this election are changing on a daily basis, and I think that's a good thing because as it changes, it seems to be changing in our favor. And Kamala Harris is collapsing with key voter demographics, and I have this sneaky suspicion this is going to cost her the election. A growing number of Arab Americans are abandoning the Democrat nominee. This just came up over the weekend, and it makes all the sense in the world as you look at it very closely. Now, an outfit called the Center Square is reporting on this. And if true, it could be a crushing blow to Harris in a must-win swing state like Michigan. Michigan has a huge Arab American population. And the Arab American Institute conducted a poll of 500 Arab American registered voters. It's not a large sampling, but in this specialized block, it's sufficient. Okay, I'll give them that. It's a sufficient number, 500. And they discovered that the former president, the vice president, have close to an even split of the Arab American vote at 42%. At 41%. Okay. But it gets worse for the Democrat side because among likely Arab American voters, Donald Trump leads Harris. All right. Let me dig into this here just a little bit more. The group taking the poll said, looking more closely with those that report they're very likely to vote, Trump leads Harris 46 to 42%. Only 79% of Democrats support Harris, while 89% of Republicans support Trump. Kamala Harris regained much of the support Biden lost after October 7th, but Harris remains 18 points below Biden's 2020 level of support with Arab American voters. Very interesting. Now, the war between Israel and Gaza, of course, is at the center of the shift, and some Arab Americans have decided to vote for a third party candidate, but the former president's been the beneficiary of the vast number of Arab Americans who have left Harris, okay? Now, the group also said, quote, all of the third party candidates combined received just 12% of the Arab American vote. Instead, it's Trump who's the beneficiary of the community's anger and despair over the Biden administration's failure to prevent the unfolding genocide in Gaza. Now, in September, Harris lost the backing of the Uncommitted National Movement. It was a very small blurb of a story. It surfaced for a couple of hours one day, oh gosh, maybe a week, 2 weeks ago, and seemed to go away. But this Uncommitted National Movement is a well-known anti-war group, and they've got some very strong ties to Michigan's Palestinian-American population. Now, this could prove to be a big blow for Harris in the race. Now, the group said it would not support Harris, citing her refusal to change her position on important foreign policy issues. And the group's been lobbying Harris to visit with families impacted by American-backed bombs in Gaza and to take a more peace-oriented posture on American aid to Israel. Now, originating from anti-war protests against U.S. participation in Gaza, the Uncommitted National Movement's become a potent grassroots force, particularly among Michigan's Arab and Muslim electorate. Now, to demand a meeting with Harris by September 15th, the organization staged an historic sit-in at the DNC in Chicago. Now, their main demands were to secure a truce in Gaza and to stop U.S. arms supplies to Israel. But the movement has publicly distanced itself from Harris as a result of the campaign's inability to respond to those demands. The group also stated in an official statement made public after the deadline, Vice President Harris's unwillingness to shift on unconditional weapons policy or to even make a clear campaign statement in support of upholding existing U.S. and international human rights law has made it impossible for us to endorse her. That's big. And then they continued by saying that although they're against a Trump administration, they find it difficult to back Harris in the next election due to their dissatisfaction with the way the Democratic leadership has handled the Israel-Palestinian conflict. This is a group you're never going to make happy. I think it's in their DNA, these Arabs, particularly the Muslims. It's in their DNA to be perpetually unhappy. Maybe that's an unfair statement. And man, I would love it if somebody would clear it up for me. But they are constantly angry. And I think a lot of it has to do with their Muslim culture. Let's head on over to the Comedy Corner and Bill Engvall.
And COVID wasn't just all about medical issues either. COVID had forced a lot of us to reevaluate our marriages. I know where you are. I'm one of them. My lovely bride and I have been married for 40 years. Thank you. But let me tell you something. The reason we've been married for 40 years is because I go away. I often tell her I'm the perfect husband. I go on the road, pick up a check, come home, drop it off, leave again. But COVID hit, and now we're together 24/7, and we had a little adjusting to do. I learned a lot about Gail that I didn't know. You would think after 40 years of marriage, I'd know everything there is to know about that woman. But I learned a lot. I learned that she's addicted to Bed Bath & Beyond. And I think they ought to call it Bed Bath & Beyond Your Budget. She just buys crap. One day she came in and she goes, we need to go to Bed Bath & Beyond. I said, for what? And she goes, I need to get clothes hangers. I said, don't we get them free from the cleaners? She goes, no, I need the special kind. And you ladies will know what I'm talking about. She said, I need the kind with the velvet on them. I said, for what? She goes, so it keeps my dress from falling off. I go, that's been our problem for 40 years. My other favorite was, she goes, we need to go to Bed Bath & Beyond. I go, now for what? And she goes, she said, I need to get guest towels. I go, for what? She goes, so when people stay with us, Bill, they have towels they can use. I said, well, here's a thought. We have a washer and dryer. And those folks don't live with us, so they don't know that our regular towels ain't our guest towels. And if they bitch about it, screw them, they can go stay at the Hilton. I said, you're just buying crap. She goes, well, you buy crap at Bass Pro Shop. I said, no, ma'am.
I buy essential items at Bass Pro Shop.
She goes, like what? And I said, like, I need a cooler that knows whether to keep my beer cold or my coffee hot. That's essential. She goes, you're an idiot. I go, I'll be an idiot with a cold beer. That's what I'll be.
Get out there and make it a marvelous Monday. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on tomorrow's Bombastic Blogcast. Remember, no such thing as spare change, free lunch, or too much horsepower. And be sure to take some time today just to thank the good Lord that you're an American.
You mean that's it?
See you tomorrow, G-Man.